This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode 232 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
How's it going, buddy?
It's going.
Yeah?
Yeah. This is my last day of vacation.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not, like, super thrilled to be going back tomorrow. And the other thing is, again, where I'm now permanently working from home, it's very little difference. You know, the one advantage I will say is that usually what happens is this on a vacation. You come to the end of the vacation, you go, oh, I meant to do this and this and this, and I should have done them, but I didn't do them. And so you start feeling a little guilty. That was very quick-lived for me because where I'm working from home, I was basically like, oh, I should have done this. You know what? I can do it any day of the week because I'm literally rotting in this place for the rest of my life.
Well, that's a bit harsh.
So, yeah. But, yeah, I was like, okay, I don't need to feel as guilty about it because I can still do all that stuff any day of the week. It doesn't have to be on vacation. And I spent my vacation relaxing and enjoying myself. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. We spent a little time together on your vacation.
We did.
It was a nice day, actually. It was a really nice day. It was on Friday. We both took a vacation day and sat down and watched the entire third season of Ash vs. Evil Dead.
All 10 episodes.
Now, here's the thing. As much as I'm a tremendously huge Evil Dead fan, as you are as yourself, neither one of us had actually watched season 3.
Well, I remember what had happened was we had watched the first two seasons when they were out.
Yeah, on Stars.
Yep. And then you lost Stars.
I did lose Stars.
Because something happened there, like,
my mom unsubscribed to it.
There it goes. Okay.
And you had something to do with it. I was getting Stars through my mom's account. She unsubscribed to it. To subscribe to a month of Stars at the time when it came out, it was like $15.
Right.
And I was like, fuck that. I'll wait for the Blu-ray to come out and I'll buy it as opposed to spending. You know what I mean? If I'm going to spend $15 to rent it, I'll rather spend $20 and buy it.
Right.
And then it became a pattern of finding the right time and finding time to watch it.
Right.
Because we had so many shows to watch. I was working so many hours and we wanted to try to watch together. Then we made this plan, hey, let's just sit and watch together. And then never work. Now 2 hours after it came out, finally it's like we sat down and watched it. Wow, it was 2 years.
And it worked?
Oh, it was awesome. It was fantastic.
It was quite enjoyable. Again, 2 years have lapsed, but
yeah.
We
can spoil the shit out of it.
Oh, which is absolutely. The best part. Yeah. It was completely over the top. There were so many homages. There were so many nods.
Yeah.
Not going to break down every episode.
Oh, God, no, no. But you did say, we have unbinged ourselves from watching shows. Like, we no longer sit down and binge through a show in a weekend like we used to. We actually take the time, watch an episode, maybe two episodes a week, even when we're multiple seasons behind, to enjoy it more. And I like that.
And let me tell you, I enjoy it more. However, it makes it difficult when there's a couple of things that make it difficult. One is when everybody has the availability to binge it, and they do, and then they want to talk to you about it. You know, somebody will go, oh, that Cobra Kai is so awesome. And I'm like, yeah, I'm two episodes in. They're like, I just finished the second season. So I'm like, well, stop talking.
Yeah.
And that kind of sucks, you know, because
yeah, it does.
Basically, the conversation is halted at that point. They're not going to remember what happened in the first two episodes versus two seasons.
Correct.
And I'm not going to be like, just hold that thought for the next 2 months.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about, you know, so it kind of kills that.
Sure.
Or like with The Boys, right yes. now, they release the first three episodes
yep.
all at once, and then they're doing one a week. So every time I see headlines, they're for the most recent episode.
Right, and we're technically two episodes behind.
Exactly. So they're like, oh, the big reveal of this, or oh, what about so-and-so's superpower? And you're like...
I mean, we could play catch-up if you wanted.
No. No, I'm good. I'm just saying, I enjoy savoring
it. Yeah.
Like Cobra Kai this week, watching one episode.
Right.
Was great. But I know, like when I saw the headline appear the other day,
it said, like, McGill fans aren't going to be happy about season three.
Yeah. Which doesn't come out till January 8th, by the way.
Yeah. So we have plenty of time to finish the season before season three comes around.
Yep.
No, I'm right there with you. But one thing you said after we finished watching that on Friday was that was a show worth binging.
Yep.
And it was like that. I enjoyed thoroughly watching every, you know, all 10 episodes back to back to back. It averaged out to 4.5 hours. Right.
I think it was closer to five.
Probably closer to five.
Because they were all about 26 to 20.
Yeah,
minutes
no.
Each.
Yeah. So it's closer to five. Yeah. Pretty much almost 5 hours.
Yep.
And I don't know. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I really thoroughly did enjoy the hell out of it.
Oh, absolutely. It was something very worth watching. Yeah. And I was glad that we finally, I didn't feel any regret. Like, oh, I wish we had watched this sooner.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing like that.
The ending with Ash being in some sort of ambiguous future where his chainsaw hand has been replaced with a new, like, high-tech Luke Skywalker hand, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the Delta is still there. The Classic is still there. That is, it's been souped up. It says Hail to the King on the front with the plow. There's a big cannon on the top. And basically
a 50 cal coming out of the windshield.
Yeah. And basically he just wakes up, this android, half android or full android type person's like, you know, the chosen one's awake. She bows to him because they're part of the Knights of Samaria. And basically she's like, yeah, we got to go. I'll tell you along the way what's going on. And he's like, okay. Yeah. Goes on some gear, jumps in the car.
He's like, where's my family? Oh, I'll explain it.
Yeah. So the ending was interesting. You know, we got that, Army of Darkness type ending, if you will, without him. I slept too long.
Right.
Speaking of Army of Darkness, you know how Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 are coming out in a Steelbox 4K set.
Mm-hmm. But not Army of Darkness because...
But no, Army of Darkness will be. Well, Army of Darkness has had the rights for Army of Darkness owned by a different company than right. Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2. However, Scream Factory... is working on a 4K release for Army of Darkness
cool.
to come out next year.
It's the Deadites are still going to look green screened.
Yeah.
4K isn't going to help that at all.
Well, and that's the thing. And we've talked about this before. Like, all right, so Evil Dead was originally filmed in 1/66:1 scale, which is basically 4:3 scale, which for people who don't know, it's basically you're watching TV with the black bars on the side. So if you watch an old episode of television on your new TV, it was formatted for the old 4:3 scale TVs, you know, the old tube TVs. That's what Evil Dead was filmed in. So whenever you watch Evil Dead in anamorphic widescreen, all anamorphic means is they cut the bottom and the top off the picture to make it fit a widescreen. So they've actually cut the film off. Well, when they made Evil Dead into the DVD release, and they made it high definition. No, they just did the DVD release. They did the anamorphic widescreen on it, plus the regular full screen. And then when they did the Blu-ray, they made it, you know, high definition. And it's like, okay, well, you can't really change the picture quality of this movie. Because all it does is make that pasted on moon stand out so much more obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to own them all. Well, so with the 4K, I'm curious where this company is starting from scratch with the 4K with the print to translate it over. So I'm curious if they're going to make adjustments so things like you said, the green screen Deadites aren't going to stand out.
Right.
I wonder if they're going to do it that way.
That would be a nice thing.
Yeah. Anyway, you slice it, I'm excited to own them because I just don't care.
Well, hopefully Santa brings them to you for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As my oldest son would say, Santa Mom or Santa Dad. Because, you know, he's 14.
Right.
And he's kind of doing that dick move thing of, well, I don't care about Halloween this year because I'm not going trick-or-treating anyways if what's happening. Doing that dick move kid thing where it doesn't affect me so I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I talked to somebody who
kids.
She's setting up a basically an Easter egg hunt, but for Halloween. So instead of eggs, it's going to be like little pumpkins. They're going to have candy in them, and it's just for her
kids,
her nephews.
Yeah,
and yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
Our neighbor actually, because when COVID first hit, it was right around Easter, and at that time, like, you couldn't see anybody. So our neighbor really said she wasn't going to see her grandkids. Apparently, ran around the backyard hiding in plain sight, mostly Easter eggs all over her backyard, our backyard, and the neighbor in between, because that neighbor lives two houses over. But if you were to look at our backyards, they all just flow together, and our kids just play across all three of them, and neither one of them care. Anyway, she hid a bunch of Easter eggs for Wesley because she just wanted to see a little kid Easter egg hunt. So you got a bunch of quarters. It worked out.
Nice.
Yeah. But no, that's a really clever, creative idea.
Yeah.
We're just going to go to, like, her mom's and her aunt's, like, family members that we would see anyways. And that's about it. You know, we have walked around the neighborhood the last 2 years with him. He's enjoyed it. But it's not the end of the world. We'll do it next year. Maybe. Hopefully.
Right. Yeah, well, we'll see.
But realistically, I'm kind of, you know, in a selfish way, I'm looking forward to going to the hopefully Pride's Corner Drive-In Halloween night to see Halloween.
Halloween on Halloween.
Did Skowhegan post what they're... Remember I sent you that message that Skowhegan Drive-In was going to do Halloween night features? Have you looked to see if they posted what they're going to show?
I have not looked yet. So I'm not sure if they've actually posted anything. I am interested to find out what they're planning. Because it could go one of two ways. It could go family-friendly, you know, little kid type thing.
Sure.
Or it could go legitimate, like, Halloween type stuff.
Right.
Actually, I guess it could go a third way because it could also just go straight up horror.
Right, right.
Which isn't Halloween. It's just scary shit.
Well, but the Halloween, October is essentially horror movie month for a lot of people, myself included. It's like an excuse to watch horror movies.
Right.
You know? Not that I need one, but it makes it seem like, all right, even more fun. All right, real quick, let's see if they posted anything.
Okay. Standing by. Red 5, standing by. Simply Red, standing by.
Intrigued.
Red October, standing by.
Yeah, no, it just says, we just couldn't be done yet. It's been mentioned for years, and it's finally happening. Halloween weekend at the Skowhegan Drive-In. We'll have shows two nights, and details coming soon. So nothing new since then.
Is Halloween on a Friday or Saturday?
Halloween is on a Saturday this year.
Okay.
Yep.
So if anything, I'd be going to that Friday night.
Friday and Saturday, I'm assuming, is when they're doing the weekend Skowhegan Drive-In. Saturday night.
Hopefully it'd be Sunday.
Saturday, yeah, no, Saturday night. Like, Pride's Corner is only doing a show on Friday and Saturday. They're not doing Sunday.
Yeah.
Although this coming Sunday, or, yeah, the 11th, they're doing the old War of the Worlds. That would actually be fun to go watch.
Interesting.
Yeah. I guess we should talk about shows and stuff.
Sure.
Well, we did. We talked about Evil Dead, Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Season 3,
yeah.
Outstanding.
And I guess let's just jump right into it. We watched the premiere, the first episode, because they put all 8 up. We watched the first episode of Monsterland on Hulu.
Yeah.
And from the trailer, it looked like a great horror anthology series.
Yeah, because each episode is based on it's like one city and state. You know, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yeah, and or Port Fourchon or something like that.
Yep.
But, yeah. This was not that.
No.
It was, I don't want to give it away for those who haven't watched it yet, but there was like a shapeshifter in the episode.
But that was not the draw of the episode.
But no, that was like the backstory.
That was not even the backstory. That was like the C story. That took such a backseat, and that story ended before the episode did.
Yeah, like, that's true. Like
maybe.
Yeah.
Three quarters of the way into the episode, that ended, and we were just left with the rest of the normal episode.
Caitlin Dever plays a single mom who has a shithead kid, is how I'm going to summarize it, and is struggling in life, and she's poor, has a shithead kid, and then some alleged serial killer, played by Jonathan Tucker, who always plays a great creep, shows up. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
Nope.
It was not even close to what it wasn't really horror related. There was a monster in it And it wasn't a bad story per se. It just wasn't what I expected.
I'd say there were a few monsters in this one.
Not in the traditional sense of monster.
No.
How about that?
And maybe that's what it was about, was to challenge your thinking of the word monster. Yeah, I'll watch the second episode because I basically, like, I don't feel like this was a baseline. Like, I want to watch the second episode and see if this trend continues. Does it continue to be just a standard TV show, a drama that has a little bit of a supernatural bent to it? Or is it going to actually get better? So, yeah, it definitely did not impress me. I could not give this a hard sell. I could barely give this a sell to anybody.
Well, what's interesting to me is that they're calling it an anthology horror series, and it's based upon a short story collection called North American Lake Monsters. Stories. Yeah. North American Lake Monsters, stories. So, yeah. I guess we'll see what happens with episode two.
So that means somebody actually wrote that as a story. Somebody actually put pen to paper and wrote down that story and said, this would be great.
And somebody else read it and said, this would be a great TV episode.
Yep.
Think about that.
Yep.
So Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai.
Is that the only
Cobra Kai?
Is that the only comedy we're watching right now? Glad it fits. I think it is. For the most part.
Would you really call it a comedy?
Not really.
No. Because by that logic, Umbrella Academy would be a comedy.
I guess. It's only a half-hour show we're watching, I think.
Yes, that is accurate.
Right now.
I think Teenage Bounty Hunters is more of a comedy.
Yeah, it is. I'd say so.
So Cobra Kai.
Mercy. This was part two.
This was season two, episode one.
Yeah.
We get to see the ramifications and fallout.
Yeah. It picks up right where season one ends. Johnny's drunk. Or half drunk, John Kreese shows up. They get into a fist fight.
They do. And Kreese puts him down.
Yes, he does. Yeah. But then Johnny does, well, because Johnny gets a chokehold on him, and then he shows mercy, and then Kreese basically is like, we're going to show mercy to an old man, and then beats him up, you know, dumps him on the ground, if you will.
One of the mirrors gets smashed, and the place doesn't get set on fire, but Kreese's cigar gets knocked into the wastebasket, conveniently.
Fire starts.
And then the sprinklers go off.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Daniel is over. Basically, Kreese is like, I'm going to kick your ass and blah, blah. I looked this up, by the way, because Kreese has a line in there where he says that back in 89, he was down in, I think, Panama doing some wet work. And I tried looking it up. I was like, ooh, I'll look up and see if he was in any movies in 1989 that this references.
He was in Rambo in 87.
Dude. This guy has been in so many movies.
Yeah,
it took me forever to scroll through them. Like, scroll. What the hell? He has been in so much shite.
Yeah.
But, yeah, nothing really pertained to that.
The only thing that stood out to me was, like I said, he was in Rambo in 87. And he was a piece of shit then.
Yeah.
He could have been the same character, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But the long and the short is Johnny's pissed. He meets up with, he runs into Daniel and Robbie at the hardware store while he's trying to, you know, get stuff to repair the mirror. And Daniel and Johnny are getting, and Robbie are getting shit to work on Miyagi-Do.
Mm-hmm.
The Miyagi-Do dojo. And, you know, Johnny legitimately tries to, like, apologize or make amends or see how Robbie's doing. Daniel calls him a prick. Robbie's like, you had your student fight dirty against me. And Johnny's like, no, I didn't. And then Robbie's like, Daniel LaRusso's a better man than you'll ever be, and storms off.
Because at the end of the tournament, Robbie said, you know, it's okay. I'm letting it go.
Yeah.
And now he's like, I know I'm supposed to be letting it go, but I can't. You suck.
Yeah. And at the same time, now Johnny's being reminiscent of how Kreese was like a father figure to him.
He's,
in a way,
it's a double-edged sword because he's reminiscing of that, but he's also reminiscing about Kreese breaking his trophy, choking him out, almost killing him. And, you know, so at first, he gets in the fist fight and he's like, Kreese, you can go fuck off.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here. I never want to see you again. Kreese is like, we could make this powerful. We could bring this back to the forefront. And he's like, no, I don't want that. I'm doing my own thing.
But then Kreese at the end comes back and apologizes and shows him his trophy. He repaired it and Johnny lets him back. I think Kreese is working him.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Because like he walks out and he's like, you know, I'm leaving, and he walks out. And then we get the whole dramatic pause where Johnny's like, wait, and he gets that little smirk on his face. Like, yep, I got him. Now this was interesting too. Johnny actually called Miguel and Hawk out, put him right up in the front of the class and said, you done fucked up, A.A. Ron.
Yeah. Basically they used dishonorable skills to win, get disqualified and to win. And Johnny is basically like, no, dude, we want to win by defeating our opponent when they're at their strongest, an honorable win, not, you know, take advantage and cheat to win.
Yep. He gives the analogy. He asks the girl there, he says, you know, there's two cobras in the jungle. One of them kills a lion in its prime. The other one kills like a sickly old warthog.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to be? She's like, the lion killer. And he's like, why is that? Because he took on the lion at its full strength and beat him. He's like, exactly. You do not go after weakness. You do not go after, you know, cheap shots in the back. You only do this on. And they were both confused. They're like, you taught us to win at all costs. He's like, not like that.
Yeah.
So he seems to legitimately want to
make it
do better.
Do better. But at the same time, falls back on his old habits like a lot of people do.
Yep.
I don't know, I love the show. I can't. I love the show.
I do too. It's wonderful. And yeah, we've got 9 more episodes of this season, which will get us close to the January 8th premiere of season 3.
Yep.
And season 4 has already been greenlit.
Yeah. Nice.
So we're going to get a 4th season apparently.
I watched the premiere, season premieres of both The Simpsons and Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
I have not watched either show on the regular in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Catching episodes here and there. I never missed the Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah.
Didn't care for Family Guy.
They were trying too much different stuff. Too many weird jokes.
Yeah.
The Caillou bit.
Yeah.
Was just over the top.
Yeah.
I mean, it went on for too long. The whole, this is a play, like where they kept having, like the lights would go down and everybody kept switching out the scenery and stuff. I was like, what the hell are you doing? And the fact they did it twice, I was like, guys, you know, enough. And then at the end when they even said, you know, we don't know how to finish these shows anymore, so we're just going to do weird stuff.
Yeah.
Seems like you don't know how to watch the shows or make the shows.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan.
No.
And maybe it's because I'm pissed at Seth MacFarlane, because basically he said he has no interest in making any more Orville after this season.
Yeah.
He's got too many other projects.
Yeah.
And I just feel like saying, fuck you, Seth MacFarlane. Don't give us something amazing and stop doing it because you don't want to do it anymore.
How dare you? You owe us.
Exactly. Simpsons was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the hell out of that episode, actually. It's a season 32. The kids haven't aged.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I would hate to see, like, have, like, the continuity board that they have set up, or if they've just basically said, fuck it.
I'm worried at this point, 32 years, what's going to happen when some of the voice actors either decide to retire or pass away.
Yeah.
You know? These people have been doing this for 32 years, and they were grown adults at the time.
Right.
So
That's a very valid point.
You know, what's going to happen when these people are like, look, I'm 70, I don't want to do this anymore. Or unfortunately pass away, you know, heaven forbid.
I never thought about that, but I mean, you're 1000% right. Hold on a second. Voice actors.
Julie Kavner.
So Dan Castella, Julie Kavner, Nancy Cartwright, Yardley Smith, and Hank Azaria. Those are basically the main ones.
Yes.
So Dan Castella, 62.
Castellaneta.
Sorry, Castellaneta. He's 62.
Yeah.
Julie Kavner, she is 70. Holy fuck. She's Marge, is she not?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah. Because she's 70. So, I mean, yeah. But think about this. Bugs Bunny, Mickey Mouse, iconic voices. Mel Blanc.
Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog. Mel Blanc did the voices of, like, every Looney Tunes character practically ever. And then they're still persisting and moved on. Kermit the Frog's voices actually changed.
They recently announced the new voice actor who's taking over the role of Cleveland Brown because, you know, it was a large, like 6'5" white guy.
Sure.
So it's a black man, and he did an Instagram video and he was like, hey, everybody, I was cast as Cleveland. You know, I want you all to know that I have nothing but respect for Mike and blah, blah, blah. And just so you know. And then he switched gears immediately, and it was note for note, it was Cleveland's voice. Right. He's like, I've been studying him for years and I know everything about him and it's going to be awful or awesome or something. Yeah. You know, and it just, it sounded just like him. So
they could, I mean, cause so essentially, you know, Nancy Cartwright, Spark 62. I mean, good for them for having such a great gig.
Yeah.
You know, Yeardley Smith, 56. She's the youngest. Hank Azaria, he's only 56 too. So, I mean, good for them for like all these people finding all these roles. But, you know, like Frank Welker's done Fred since the 60s, you know, and Scooby.
Yeah.
But like we had Casey Kasem and Matthew Lillard doing Shaggy and some others. And I don't know. It'll be, you're right though. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
This was a decent episode. Mr. Burns plays like he goes undercover boss style, but he's in like a Iron Man type suit, and he'd be like, it was funny.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you watched them.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll watch any more Family Guy, but I'll probably watch Simpsons again just because it was fun.
I always watch Family Guy. It's a good mindless show for me. This episode though was really not that great. I found it hard to find anything worth laughing at on the episode, unfortunately.
Yeah, so. I can understand that.
And I mean, there should have been, like the whole greasing up of the stairs so that Peter would fall down and swing.
Yeah. But he doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't swear.
Oh, my heavens.
Yeah. Peter, why aren't you swearing? Well, I've been trying to be better.
Ever since I've been hanging out with Caillou's beta dad. On that line, South Park premiered the pandemic special.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, this past season, South Park's big thing is Randy owns a weed farm. It's Tegrity Farms. They got Tegrity. And a lot of their jokes have been political, of course. You know, he tried to sell to China back when the whole we don't like China thing was going on. You know, Mickey Mouse represents the Disney Corporation and blah, blah, blah. But so in this episode, so the pandemic special is his special blend of weed. So he's like, you know, you guys are having a hard time. People have lost businesses, you know. So I've got a pandemic special. And so it's simultaneously him saying that he has this pandemic special blend. And then everybody, like his wife, saying, why are you doing this? Nobody wants a pandemic special. He's like, I'm trying to bring happiness and joy to people. And she's like, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Nobody wants this. So it's them both saying, you know, hey, we're trying to do something nice and we recognize that nobody wants this. So,
yeah.
And of course, you know, the other story is that Cartman, they're going to send the kids back to school and Cartman wants nothing to do with that because he's found a way to game the system. You know, he goes on his Zoom calls for his classes and he'll be like, hey, everybody, and they're like, oh, Cartman, I think your video's locking up again. You're just going to have to mute yourself and just listen in. Oh, okay. So then he fucks off all day.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to go back to school.
I can see kids doing that for real.
It was not that great. Definitely didn't need to be made. So moving on.
Hannibal. So,
better.
Apparently Bloom carried the Verger baby. So it's not inbred.
But if it still has the DNA of the two of them.
Nope, I'm assuming it does. It's just his semen with her eggs. So it's her son. But she's in a relationship with Margot.
Yeah.
So
they can, you know, have a two-parent household.
Yeah, based on Bloom having a baby, and she looks fantastic, it's most likely been over a year since Hannibal was taken into custody.
Mm-hmm.
These two episodes basically follow Red Dragon, if you've ever watched the movie.
Or read the book.
Yeah, we meet, which I haven't, Dollar-Eyed Moore. We meet his blind girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
For me, there's really not a whole shit ton to talk about.
No. Again, we've caught up to Red Dragon, so we're outside of the mythology that they created for Will and all these guys as the backstory. Now they're kind of into the muck of we have to follow this story as much as possible, so it's less.
Yeah. The only thing that this separates us, again, I haven't read. Did you read the book?
No.
Okay, so the only thing that separates us from the movie is we have the whole backstory with Gillian Anderson's Dumour. I've just murdered that, I know. But we see her interacting with her Neil Frank, her patient, and what led to her killing him. Mm-hmm. We get that in episode nine or ten, one or the other. It doesn't matter. In episode 10. In episode 9, we get to see more of Abigail's backstory about how she ended up in the house and all that other stuff, pushing him out the, with Hannibal, and how we see this side of things that happened at the end of last season.
Yeah. It's a little too late.
Yeah, but isn't it weird that we're seeing what happened at the end of season 2? We're finally getting near the end of season 3 to see the other side of the story?
That's been the whole problem this season.
Yeah.
Is all this stuff that's like, oh, we're going to make you wait for it.
I almost feel like we got a different showrunner this season. Like the old TV show Millennium. I know. Millennial. With Millennium, with the Chris Carter show, where Frank Back was the Millennium group, and they're kind of in the FBI, but it's not Mulder and Scully, on and on. The first season was great. The second season, there was a different showrunner, and it went in a completely fucking different direction. And then in season 3, back to, Chris Carter being the showrunner, and it went right back to the same format of season 1. I mean, and that's what it feels like to me. It feels like season 3, we have a huge departure of the showrunner, or whoever's, in charge of the show this season.
Right.
It feels so much different. And again, very artsy.
Yes. More artsy than it needs to be at this point.
So we're down to 3 episodes. Do we want to just watch all 3 and get it over with and just put this to bed?
We don't really have a lot else going on this week. We just finished out Umbrella Academy.
Yeah. So. Let's just watch the rest of these and just put this show to bed, I think. As excited as I was, which is really frustrating, as excited as I was in season 2, and I wanted this show, like, I would love it if they made new episodes. Now, watching season 3, I'm just like, no wonder people stop fucking watching this.
Yeah.
You know, one review should fucking dropped off because it's just not great.
Yep.
So we got episodes 11, 12, and 13.
We can do it.
Let's just burn through them. Get it done.
Burn.
I didn't watch Young Wallander. I might not.
I watched the next episode of The Vow. Actually, the next 2 episodes.
How'd that treat you?
Not bad. It's getting now into the the investigation and the legal aspects of it, which is very interesting because, you and I remember seeing the New York Times story.
Oh, sure.
About it, and we're like, oh, well, now we're getting to see all the people behind the scenes and how they actually worked their asses off for a long time trying to get some news outlet to take them credibly because they didn't have a lot of corroborating people. A lot of the people who were inside wouldn't talk and didn't want to be rescued. A lot of the news outlets were like, yeah, we're not going to carry this. This seems sensational. And, the authorities wouldn't do anything about it. They were like, well, nobody seems to be held against their will and there's no danger to people, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So now we're starting to get into the whole, bringing it to light, seeing what they can get people to do. It's still good. It's less sensational, less exciting now because basically it's all out there in the open and it's more about the legal battles. But I still recommend it because it's very informative about, like, this is a very prolific case of sex trafficking and such.
Okay.
But this kind of shit happens all the time, all over the world.
Yeah.
This one just happened to get a lot of media attention because it was in the United States and Canada and because it had some celebrities involved in it.
I watched the new ABC show called Emergency Call.
I saw the previews for this and I laughed. I was like, oh no. No, they're doing it again.
Well, this is not fictional.
Right.
So 911, 911 was a fictional show about a 911 call center. And then, of course, that was too fucking boring, so they expanded it. I never watched a single episode. I never will.
Nope, me either.
This is more similar to Rescue 911, except there's not a host. The host is Luke Wilson, but it's not like William Shatner style where they dramatized everything. This is literally cameras inside of a 911 call center. The 3 we saw, there's one in Texas, one in New Orleans, and one in Alaska. And it was just showing them taking 911 calls and dealing with it. And I watched it. My wife watched it with me. I got triggered a couple times, but I got PTSD from 20 years of taking 911 calls.
I would imagine it's the same way, like when I'm in a store and I'm standing in line and I see the line getting longer and longer and nobody's coming up to help and there's like three people behind the counter talking.
Yeah.
I get triggered the yeah. same way where I'm like, somebody better fucking do something about this. The manager should be out here. Why are these? Yeah.
Right.
Not life or death.
Right. Because you, but for background, because you were a store manager, essentially.
15 years.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's why it
yeah.
triggers him. So a couple of things triggered me, but there was a couple of things I enjoyed. The Alaska dispatchers. I, as a dispatcher, never in my life had to say, or will ever imagine I'd ever have to say, if it's a black bear, if it's a brown bear, play dead. But if it's a black bear, you're going to fight back.
well,
you know,
it's Maine. I mean,
who knows? So there was a couple things that were interesting, but I don't know if I'll watch it again. I did watch the complete first episode. A lot of my dispatch cohorts have all been, oh, it's great. I will say it is. There's a tremendous level of realism for what a dispatcher goes through that you don't like. Because as we're watching the show, even Kate was like, I really would like to see what's going on scene. She didn't say use the word on scene, but like, right. you know, to see the officer's point of view or rescue's point of view.
Nope. Don't get to do like, that.
No, you don't see that as a dispatcher. You're sitting in that center. And they bring up the fact that when you take a high stress call, like telling a 9-year-old how to do CPR on their grandfather,
mm-hmm.
when you hang up the phone fucking rings just like that practically.
Yeah.
And you have to answer it.
Yeah.
So you don't have the downtime. You can't get up and walk away because especially if you're the only one in the room, which all my time on midnights at the city of Augusta, I was the only one in the room. And all my 7 years of midnights at DPS in Augusta, I might as well have been the only one in the fucking room at times. So it was just – so I get it. But I don't think I'd ever really be able to fully enjoy the show because you can see how fired up I'm kind of getting now.
Yeah.
And –
you live it. You don't want to go and watch it happen.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I tried it out. I it's interesting as far as it's realistic.
Somebody who's been in an abusive relationship doesn't want to go watch a show about abusive relationships.
Correct. It's realistic. I hope people love it. I hope it becomes popular so people understand what the fuck we go through and have a better idea of it.
Did they have any scenes where, you know, they just showed everybody sitting around on their phones?
No.
No. For like an hour and a half?
No, but they did have like the call where the woman calls in and there's a prowler around her house and she's freaking out and da 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 da. And the police are getting there and it's high stress and everyone's getting worked up and she's screaming and now she's pounding on the door again. You can hear them pounding on the door. It's her sister. You know, that's real.
Oh, yeah.
That happens.
I was waiting for you to say, I've got a gun. I'll take care of it myself.
I've had that too.
I have as well.
But what I mean is, the adrenaline spike that dispatcher went through taking that call.
Yeah.
And they're laughing at the end. Ha 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 ha. But if it's been a long day, it's not funny.
No.
And if it's, even if it hasn't, that adrenaline spike adversely affects you.
Yeah.
It can, you know, yeah. So.
Stress hormones.
Yeah. So I don't know. And then they had a couple ridiculous calls, you know, like there's a naked guy laying face down the street. That's gotta be painful on his, you know. So they had some funny calls. They had some realistic calls. They had some, you know, and then the Alaska, I would watch it on Alaska because it's so unique and different.
Right.
You know, like that was the only time I was really kind of sucked in. I was like, cause that's nothing. It's shit I haven't experienced, you know, but anyhow, I don't know if I'll watch another episode, but I got to give them credit. They did a good job.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So I actually even tried to find Luke Wilson on the Twitter to tweet at him about it, but he doesn't have the Twitter apparently. So.
What a twit.
Yeah, not tweeting at him. Speaking of police procedural, I watched episode 2 of Criminal. UK. Okay.
Yeah.
Season 2.
Okay.
Where are you on this?
Still in season 1.
There's only 3 episodes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then in that case, I haven't started season 2 yet.
Okay.
Because remember, I got waylaid because then it was like,
sure,
Azerbaijan or something.
Yeah, like but that. you can just go yeah. to season 2. I didn't care for episode 1. I was kind of bored by it.
Yep.
It's the same as we've seen. This was different.
Okay.
Specifically, and I don't want to give it away because I actually do want you to watch it.
Oh, I'm going to.
But I want to go back to it.
Okay.
So hopefully you watch it sooner than later.
Okay.
In the next couple weeks or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do want to go back to it. Yeah, because if I say anything, it's going to give it away, and I don't want to give it away.
Cool.
I'm not trying to overhype it. It's just...
Oh, it's already overhyped.
Oh, fuck. Okay. As I was watching it, I was thinking, you know, they never do this.
And then they did it.
Well, close, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I can deal with that.
Well, I watched the next episode of Ratched.
And?
It's American Horror Story, basically. It's just without ghosts so far. It's...
And with a, I can't even say semi-famous character. Like, this is a marginally famous
character. Well, but she's become part of pop culture lexicon as the, and it's probably lost its meaning, but Nurse Ratched, and it's Ratched, not Ratched, as it shows, and, you know, is always the stereotypical shitty nurse.
Right.
Evil nurse, bad nurse.
Control freak, overbearing.
Yes. But, yeah, so there's that. It just looks like American Horror Story. I don't dislike it by any means, but I can't even give it a hard sell. It's more like while I'm sitting there on my computer working on a blog post, I'll watch that and then look up and once in a while, oh, titties. Cool. All right, go back to my
own. Okay.
That's about it. What else we got to talk about?
We still got Teenage Bounty Hunters, Umbrella Academy, The Boys, Utopia.
What do you want to talk about?
And Fargo.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
Let's go with Teenage Bounty Hunters.
All right.
You had two episodes to catch up on.
I did, didn't I?
Yep. And did you see what I was talking about? How episode 7 kind of ended on a cliffhanger?
Yes.
Episode 8, I felt, handled it well. So basically, episode 7, the girls are separated through most of this. Because... Yeah. Like I had said, you know, Sterling has her academic decathlon and Blair. For some reason, I want to say Blake. Blair decides to go and follow Mom around for the day, figure out what's going on, which leaves Bowser and his Yolanda to do coupon day.
great play.
It was good. basically... Sterling, no, I'm sorry. That was the episode before. The whole academic decathlon, that was the episode before because that was the one where, in the end, she got grabbed by April. And she couldn't stop thinking about it.
Yeah, no. Episode 7 is when, Sterling and April kiss.
Yes.
And that's how that one ends.
Yes.
Yeah, because, episode 6 ends with her masturbating.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why it's called the master debater.
Yes. Episode 7, yeah, they build to it because Sterling is distracted the entire episode. Like,
right. Well, so in this episode, Blair is hunting with her dad.
Yes.
And uncles. And trying to pump
him. And Big Daddy.
Yeah, and trying to pump for her for information about her mom.
Yep.
And dad is being elusive, and he tells her, let it go.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, that's what he said to you? Yeah, what? Like, it was like the meanest thing he's ever said to her, and it was nothing.
Yeah.
But essentially, it let her, based on what her uncle was saying, mom used to be a good shot. She used to go hunting. They went to a rifle range on their first date. I mean, dad's hiding something. And we see mom and dad talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, hey, we got to tell him. And basically, mom and dad try to placate them by giving them a collection of, like, pictures and shit from their mom's youth.
From mom's parents.
Yeah.
And basically, she says that they had a fight. Her and her parents had a fight before they got on the plane. And then that was the last time she ever spoke to them. So she's living with regret and she feels bad. We know that this is not
true. There's way more than that to it. And I don't think Blair or Sterling actually even fell for it.
Right. But it quelled them for the moment.
But yeah, Blair ends up working with Sterling. I mean, Sterling ends up working with April on a school project where they have to build
they have to build something religious.
A religious building.
Yeah.
And like
somebody's doing the Ark.
April picks like King Solomon's tomb. And then, like, April's friend's like, you always got to overshoot. Well, we're going to do this now. I'm working with her. And so she ends up working.
And they decide to make the crucifix.
Yeah.
And she's like, it has to be a room or a building. And they're like, well, it's kind of a building where Jesus lived for 3 days.
Jesus lived on it for 3 days. Yeah. And then Luke and his new girl that's lusting after him do the Ark.
Mm-hmm. And they have all the animals humping.
Yeah.
Which was... As he said, you know, that was a creative choice. It wasn't my choice. But
yeah.
So basically, Sterling's like, I'll work with you, April. And they start working together. And she keeps like dropping hints and kind of saying things about strong women. And, you know, I don't think that God really hates gay people. And, you know, trying to feel her out because she's into her, but she's pretty sure April is just a bitch. And then by the end, she just blows her load. She can't handle it anymore. So she just muckles on and kisses her. And then is very apologetic because April's just flabbergasted and turns around to walk away. And she's like, I'm sorry. And April locks the door and then comes back over and muckles onto her.
Well, we find out in episode 8, they did not have the sex. They just made out.
Yep.
They don't have the sex in this one either. But basically April in episode 8, April reveals that she has been
a lesbian,
for years.
Yeah. Since she was a kid. She remembers that one girl that, you know, was moving away and she was going to kill herself over it or, you know, I'll hunt you down and trap you. And she says she always goes way over the top with girls that she likes. And, but she's always been gay. And Sterling really likes her, but also says, I think I'm bisexual. Like, I'm not ready to say that I'm gay. Like,
but at the same time, April answers a lot of questions where she says, my Jesus loves me no matter who I love.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of move on from that, you know, because there's a lot of very, very religious zealot people who like this, how quote the Bible basically says being gay is an abomination.
Right.
Because it was actually kind of funny because before April kisses her though, before Sterling kisses April, she does cite all these different passages in the Bible where it basically says that being gay is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like laid with, and I can't quote them all, but I just thought that was funny because I'm like, why are people throwing this shit in people's faces?
Because every time she had one of those,
yes,
then April had a counter for it.
Fair enough. But in this episode, basically, April and Sterling basically spend the whole episode together. They're supposed to be at this after school group, and then they're dating, kind of going on, they go on a date. Sterling doesn't want to keep this hidden. She wants it to be open. She wants her to be herself.
Especially around her sister because
she hates keeping this from her sister.
Because Blair is hating on April because they were both hating on April.
Right.
And she wants to be able to tell her. And she's like, I've never kept a secret from my sister. And it's killing me. This is where I started to have a problem with this because it was, Sterling is brand new to this, and she's like, I'm ready to come out and tell everybody that I love you. And April's like, I'm not ready at all. And Sterling kind of strong-armed her.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, you need to come out. You need to tell people who you are, and you need to be okay with it. And she's like, they're going to hate us. They're going to ridicule us. She goes, think about what I did with you.
Well, she goes, look how good it worked out for you and Luke. And then she's like, you're the one that spread that around. And April's like, oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, exactly.
So I did like that.
Yeah. But basically, you know, her point is that it was bad enough with a guy and a girl.
But I think the reason why Sterling is pressuring April so much is because she wants to be honest with her sister.
Yep. And in that case, that's on her.
Right.
You know, and she can't expect April to just suddenly be like, yeah, I'm ready to come out just so that you can be comfortable.
Exactly. At the same time, Blair's trying to juggle working with Bowser. And
this was an 80s
Miles, and it was, I hated this part. It was stupid
because
the stakeout that Bowser and Blair are on, and Sterling is supposed to replace Blair at 6 o'clock, but Sterling no shows. The stakeout they're on for this rapper that owes Yolanda like $100,000 or $150,000 or whatever it is. They're trying to stake her out. And then at the same time, she decides to make up a date with Miles and finally spend time with Miles because she, as he says, you've been avoiding me.
Oh, yeah. He's like, we are doing this now or never.
So she basically does the run back and forth routine. And of course, it blows up in her face with Miles.
Because anybody who's ever seen an 80s sitcom knows that this doesn't work.
And Miles breaks up with her.
Yep.
And says, look, you can't be honest with me and tell me what's going on. Then we're done. I think rightfully so. And I think it's funny when Blair texts Sterling and says, sorry if you're like dead in a ditch, but fuck you.
Yep. I particularly like that one. Because Sterling did fuck her at the same time, you know, by not showing up.
Yep.
And then even when she knew that she was desperate. Now, there was more to it because, like, she tries to convince April and April's like, no, I can't do this. I'm sorry. I'm not at that point.
Yeah.
But then April comes back to her and she's like,
talk me into it. Yeah.
Convince me. You know, you're part of the debate team. Convince me.
Right, and so now Sterling's delayed even more.
Mm-hmm. Because they're making out in the car.
Bowser goes to Yolanda to basically say, you know, hey, I got a great lead on where he is. We're going to track him down. And to finally basically choose between the sisters.
Which seemed, it should have been an easy choice.
It should have been a long ass time ago. And Yolanda's like, yeah, now's not the time. And Terrence, the bounty hunter that Bowser hates, is there.
The YouTube sensation.
And, but they're not like brown chicken, brown cow going on. They're working.
Yep.
And it got late and they ordered food. And Terrence's like, we got plenty of food. Come get some.
Yeah.
And Bowser's like, you know what, Yolanda? I quit. Lose my number. Don't call me anymore. Blah, blah, blah.
Keep all the cases. Take them all back.
Yeah. So he's kind of being a child.
He is. He's very much being a child. Mom and Dad try to host Sterling's ex's parents.
Oh, yes. I forgot about
Holy
that, actually.
Jesus. Like, yeah. These couples hate each other.
Yeah.
And the twins' parents, like, they are going at each other. They hate each other. It was painful to watch. Like, watching them catfight back and forth. And the little snippy, passive-aggressive stuff. You know, the fact that they didn't take their honeymoon in Paris. They went camping.
Yeah.
He's like, well, if you'd suggested, she's like, I said we should have gone to Europe. And he's like, well, Europe's terrible. And the other couple's like, yeah, we went to Rome and it's really not that great.
Well, it's funny because it started out with the other couple kind of snipping and fighting at each other. And then it ended with the twins' parents snipping and fighting at each other. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They switched places.
Yep. I still love this show. We got two episodes left.
I think it's great. Yeah, I'm actually a little sad that we're down to two episodes.
Now, with this one, I think it's okay to just do the next one and then the one after that. I don't think we need to barrel through the last two episodes.
No, we'll keep them a week apart, yeah.
Even Hannibal will do the last three.
Just to fucking get it done.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, just to fucking get it done.
Yep. Speaking of getting it done, Umbrella Academy.
Final episode. Well, what did you think overall for this season?
Overall for this season, I think I liked the first season better. But there was a lot of good in this season.
Is there anything that tremendously annoyed you about this episode?
A lot of it was wrapped up quickly. The whole fact that the Vanya thing, you know, that they quickly explained away, oh, when I brought him back to life, I must have transferred some of my power into him.
And she then sucks it away from him?
Yeah.
But not all of it, because at the end we see him kind of
completely
flip. What do you think about Vanya having basically complete control over her powers all of a sudden? Like, she's got them figured out where she can go all white violin, blast, and kill hundreds of people.
But she did that with the cops, too. You know, when they
well,
were
on a smaller level.
Right.
Yes. On a smaller level. Absolutely. But now all of a sudden she can.
Oh, yeah. But I feel like that was kind of coming.
Yeah.
You know, the end of season one.
Yeah.
And then everything that happened to her this time, like rescuing the kid and cracking the window and then the cops and then the FBI office. You know, I feel like it's been building to that a little bit.
What do you think about Lila popping up that she can mirror other people's powers?
Awesome.
Yeah.
But at the same time.
Almost Mary Sue-ish though now. I know they didn't go, it's convenient. We're going to write this in. But at the same time.
Yeah. Because this was literally not just the last episode, but the last half of the last episode.
Yeah.
That we get this reveal that she has powers and that her power is, you know, Peter Petrelli, essentially.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But I miss Heroes.
First season.
Yeah, I miss Heroes first season.
Yeah. Same way that you miss Scrubs seasons 1-7.
Mm-hmm.
Or 1-8. Yeah.
I did like the Heroes revival, though.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But think about 5, reversing time just a few minutes.
I love that.
I thought that was great.
About time.
It was learned behavior from Reginald, actually.
And it looked so smooth and it looked so great. And I really liked the way that he had it set up.
Yeah.
The camera work was phenomenal on that. But and I like the fact that the Swede came in just to kill the handler and then fucked off. You know?
I like that they convinced Lila, you were actually born on the same day as us. You know, you're one of us.
Yeah.
Like, we will be your family. And all of them were like, yeah, we will. Like,
but then
I like her as a character. Well, she was scared. Her mom just got killed.
Yeah.
So I like her as a character. here's what's interesting. With her being able to mirror the powers, it's almost like she can only mirror them if she's near them.
Mm-hmm. And it's only one at a time.
Yes. So I do like that. She doesn't have them all at once.
I mean, near is like she has to be hit by it, I think. Because think about Vanya's wave. Right.
Yeah.
You know, she was way far out in the field, but she was able to create that dome and absorb it. With the whisper power, you know?
Yes. It was when...
when she actually said to her.
She was using
when
it.
When Allison was like, you know, I heard a rumor. And she's like, you stopped breathing. Luther's strength, you know, when she was actually hit by it. What about this? Up until this point, I thought that Diego was just Batman. I thought that he could just throw stuff. I didn't realize he was fucking telekinetic. Like full-on telekinetic. Stopping all the bullets.
I didn't realize that either. I thought he was just good at throwing knives.
Yeah, like he threw a knife and it curved around. I'm like, whoa, that's, you know, that's Wanted, the movie.
Right.
But then when he jumped out there and held his hands up and went all Neo and like slowed down and stopped all the bullets.
And it made him drop, but it drained him.
Yeah.
So I think the reason why he does the knives is because he can do that one thing at a time, short burst type of thing.
Yeah, but this was, I'm like, wait a minute.
I didn't realize that either.
Okay, so I'm not insane. Yeah, I thought that the showdown was great. I thought that the whole thing with Harlan was way too conveniently done. You know, first when they find him, and then when she's like, I can take it away and just let me in. And she just touches him and takes it away.
The handler, but she had established a relationship with him over a period of time where there was trust involved. Right. So I'm okay with that. I would have been pissed off if the handler would have gotten right in there with her.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad that didn't work out. I'm glad she's dead. She's dead for real this time. I do like that.
Because, I mean, she was dead in the first season.
All right, what do you think about them going, they get the suitcase.
Oh, this was my favorite
part. They jump to 2019.
Yeah.
Reginald's still alive. Hey, Dad. And Reginald says to him, I expected you to be back someday.
Yep.
Hey, why is there a painting of Ben over the fireplace?
And Emo Ben is there.
Yeah, it's the Sparrow Academy.
Yeah.
Instead of the Umbrella Academy.
And you notice there was like five or six kids up on the balcony.
A few different children.
In shadows.
A floating green cube.
Yep.
And Ben is number one.
Yep. And they were all in the shadows. So, you know, they'll cast those people for the next season, I'm sure. I love that. I love the thought that, you know, they basically inspired him to start his Academy of Gifted Kids, but not them.
Yeah. Isn't that weird, though?
It is weird. Like,
what happened to old five that got zapped through time?
And what made him go out? Because he went out and collected as many kids as he could. He got seven of them.
Yeah.
What made him this time get Ben, who's the same one, but then collect different other ones?
Maybe because he never saw Ben the first time, because Ben was dead,
you know,
but he saw the other ones.
And he wasn't impressed by any of their powers. Because remember, he sat there and listened to all of them?
He was not impressed by any of them.
Because when he got them as babies, he didn't know what the powers were going to be. So now he's like, well, definitely not them then.
Yeah.
So he's had all this time to research it, and I'll bet you that's what it is. So now he put together a better group.
Think they'll be fighting each other?
Oh, I hope so.
I hope so.
Yeah.
All right, what else? What else we got here?
The boys. We do. We've got the boys.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh. Well, you were just like, I didn't know if you were saying you wanted to wait until later.
No. We talk about the boys now. It's fun.
Basically, a lot of this is the real life mirroring the rise of the Seven. Or the Dawn of the Seven.
The movie
that's being shot. And, you know, Homelander has really gone double-dipped full-on in on outing Maeve. Like, he's told the entire world, and he's now writing it into the movie that Maeve is gay and that she has a lover. And she's basically, she's almost pleading with him. She's like, look, what'll it take? If I promise to never see her again, will you leave her alone? Will you leave me alone? And he's like, oh. I could never do that. You love her.
Yeah.
You've got to be with her. Complete douchebag about it.
Oh, even Maeve's girlfriend, Elena, is brought in. And, like, the team's going to give her a makeover, put her in a pantsuit, and da-da-da-da. And she's like, I don't want to do any of this. And Maeve's like, you have to or he will fucking kill you.
Yeah. Yeah, why am I wearing a pantsuit? Why am I dressing up like a guy? Oh, well, studies have shown.
Yeah. They don't like two pretty girls together. Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Who cares?
So, yeah, a lot of it is that. So then, like, we have A-Train who basically says, yeah, I'm not getting written off this movie. And Homelander takes him aside and he's like, you're getting written off. You're leaving. Actually, no, it's Ashley. Ashley kind of,
yeah,
to use one of your terms, cuts a promo on him.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. So
you can either take your severance package and go, or we can tell everyone how you're shooting up with Compound B still and gave yourself a heart attack and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it basically drums him right out. Yeah. So he shoots his scene where he's like, I've been running my whole life, and maybe it's time to settle down and stop running. And I know that this is the dawn of the seven, but it's sunset for me.
I love how it was not even actual Homelander. It was just stand-in. And the guy's walking away. He turns back. He tells you, man, that was awesome. Yeah. You know, keeps on walking.
Yeah. So we've got a lot of that going on. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we've got Frenchie is – so the last episode, Frenchie was just doing as many drugs as he could and trying to be whacked out of his mind. Now, this time, he seems to be more sober, and he's trying to help Kimiko, who is now doing hit jobs.
Yep.
She's going and killing guys for money, and he's like, no, you can't do this. You shouldn't do this. And she's doing her sign language thing, and he's like, you won't teach me. I don't know how to talk to you because you won't teach me. And basically, he's not getting through to her.
Right.
She doesn't care. I like her as a hitman.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, she's supposed to be a nice character. You know, she's part of the team, but none of them are nice people, actually. She's a hitman. Great. Awesome. It's a good look for her.
Right.
She's basically Wolverine without the claws.
She's got the necks.
Yeah. And she runs around and rips people apart and rips heads off and
faces. She's legit Weapon X.
Yeah.
She ripped off some dude's fucking face.
I like, love that. Like, grabbed hold of it and just, like, peeled.
And then you just see the skinless mouth screaming in agony.
Yeah.
Before it drops.
Yeah.
Grotesque.
Very grotesque. And I'm trying to remember. Oh, and then basically there's a protest being held in Washington about Homelander going and killing, well, he flat out murdered another guy from Africa, wasn't
it? Well, he went and killed a super terrorist.
With air quotes, because, right, you know, when we saw this guy, he was just hanging out in his house. And there were some bad looking dudes around him, but we...
No, he was causing a scene and he showed up, like, there was military was there and he was causing a scene and Homelander zapped him with his eyes,
okay,
through his body, and it killed him, but it went through a sign behind him and killed this innocent kid behind him.
Oh, that's right. That's
and it was
right,
the innocent kid behind him. Everyone was protesting the death of that kid.
Right.
And Homelander shows up at one of the protest rallies to try to do it his own way, even after...
Do his Homelander thing and be like, we're all about justice, and yeah, we're trying to keep the world safe, and blah, blah, blah. Because up until this point, it's been keep America safe.
Right. And Ashley, whatever her name is, yeah, is like, no, you cannot make a statement and do anything until legal gets behind this and we figure this out.
Yeah, the higher up said that they want your statement to be, yeah, no statement.
And Homelander, being Homelander, goes and does his own thing, mm-hmm, and it backfires. He just drops 9 points.
Yeah.
So he gets Stormfront to help him by her doing one of her meme campaigns.
Well, before that, I love the scene where he basically, like, starts to lose his mind because everyone's throwing stuff at him and jeering him.
And the soldier flips him off, or the veteran, yeah, flips him off. Yeah.
And they start chanting, you don't speak for us, you don't speak for us. And he just lasers the whole crowd.
Yeah.
Like, just bodies going everywhere, liquefied, heads decapitated.
I was actually hoping that really happened.
I know. I was like, wow, he just stepped over a line. But then you find out that it was just in his head. And he's like, all right, good talk. And takes off.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he has Stormfront work with her meme trolls.
Yep.
And do a little campaign action. And revitalizes him.
He goes up 6 points. He's all happy now. And him and Stormfront have a very violent sex scene.
Very violent. Like, yeah, we've now determined that she's pretty much invincible.
Yeah, he can laser her tits. And yeah, it feels good to her.
It, like, scarred her flesh. And she did say that it hurts.
Yeah.
But it didn't go through her.
But it hurt in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they have a lot of the sex.
Yeah.
Including throwing each other into walls and smashing the place up.
Hitting each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then eventually ending up with flying pants down coitus.
Yeah. That was interesting. So Butcher is at his aunt's house to see his dog, and terror.
Yeah.
And Huey and Mother's Milk show up because Huey's like, there's something wrong with Butcher. Why? He was nice to me.
Yeah.
And we meet Butcher's aunt, who basically says Huey reminds her of, is the spinning image and reminds her of Butcher's brother, who's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably why Butcher took a liking to Huey, yep, in the series, at least.
Right.
Black Noir is there to kill them, especially Butcher. And so they fake a gas leak to have the fire department show up and try and wait him out. And in the end, they basically lower him and they have a big fight. And then Butcher reveals that he's got pictures of his son and Homelander's, you know, bastard child, if you will, and on and on and on. And
basically, I'll release them and show the world that Homelander is nothing but a rapist.
Yeah.
And, you know, your golden boy will be tanked. I like how the phone rang at that moment.
Yes.
Because they're watching.
Yeah.
Vaught is watching through
Black Noir's camera. And basically, he's like, how do I know you have this? You don't. Hmm. And they basically, you know, you're going to leave us alone, period.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. Black Noir leaves.
Have you noticed that all the soups seem to, for the most part, be indestructible?
Yeah.
You know, Black Noir got blown up like 17 times.
Yeah.
Which was funny. Like,
yeah,
like the, you get to see all the bombs set up Home Alone style.
Yeah.
And then they're sitting down in the basement and then boom, and the whole place shakes. Then a little while later, you hear footsteps, and then boom, and over again. We've seen him get half blown up before.
Yeah.
Stormfront can't be destroyed. Starlight seems to be...
Well, Homelander can choke her out.
Yeah.
We've seen some of them be hurt or whatever, but yeah, it seems like...
We saw A-Train get wrecked.
Yes.
But
it seems like, yeah, they're not easily killed unless another soup does something.
Translucent. You know, Translucent was indestructible.
Until they put a bomb inside him and blew him up from the inside out. Yeah. Yep.
So I'm wondering if that's part of the Compound V thing. Like, they get powers they're indestructible?
Everyone of the seven are basically saying they had no idea about Compound V. They didn't know they were injected with it. They didn't know until just now.
Yeah, Starlight actually meets up with her mom, and Stormfront's already there.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, no, Stormfront invited Starlight's mom to the set.
That's right.
Yeah.
And she's like, what is my mom doing here? And then, oh, well, I thought you two should talk. And her mom's like, you know, oh, I knew about it, but blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize. And Starlight's just like, you have no right to be involved in my shit.
Yeah. Tells her off.
Broke into her computer.
Yeah.
Got something out of it. We still don't know exactly what.
Basically said, oh, because I'm not. Basically calls her a racist.
Mm-hmm.
Without calling her Liberty. But just, oh, what, because I'm white? That's why I'm so, you know, and it's interesting.
Yep.
The way Stormfront played it off. But then Homelander showed up and wanted to thank her.
Hmm. Now, however are you going to repay me for that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Rough, hardcore sex.
Yep.
So we're only two episodes behind.
Yep.
So if you really wanted to, we could watch the next two episodes so we can be caught up.
We'd have to watch three, wouldn't we?
No, because there's one aired on September. We just watched episode 5,
mm-hmm,
and then episode 6 came out on 25th, and episode 7 came out on the 2nd,
okay,
and episode 8 comes out on the 9th,
right?
Which is, oh yeah, we have to watch
this coming Friday.
It's coming Friday, yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I guess let's just see where we are later this week.
Okay.
See what we've had a chance to watch, what we haven't.
Cool.
What else we got? Are we down to Fargo?
And Utopia.
Oh, okay. Let's talk Utopia.
I have a feeling we're both going to come up with the exact opposite thing right here.
Oh, okay.
Because I see the look on your face, which is, I don't like this show.
I don't know if I like the show or not.
My sister said to me something this afternoon that just clicked, and I went, oh, yeah. She said, this is like an R-rated version of Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. And I went, oh, I can see that.
Okay, yeah, it is.
Because it's bizarre, and you have no idea what's going on. But ever since she said that, I can't not see the comparisons. Like, the fact that they kept asking over and over again, where's Utopia? Where's the boy?
Yeah.
Where's Utopia? Where's the boy? That was such a Dirk Gently thing.
Yeah, it was.
Everything about this is remarkably bizarre. We saw a main character who was fully established as one of the main characters get executed by
Jessica Hyde,
who will now be replacing her. And she literally said, a group can't have two leaders. She was your leader. Now I'm the leader.
Yeah. Which, I didn't like that.
Blew my mind. Blew her mind.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
But, yeah.
It was a good episode. It's still kind of confusing. You know, they discover on the single page a new virus, and then, boom, there's the virus happening in the real world. We see Rainn Wilson's character, who is a doctor who several years ago discovered this flu strand and now can't get any, but he hasn't discovered anything new since then, so he can't get any funding or credit or anything. He just kind of toils away. Mm-hmm. And then that new flu virus is basically the one he discovered.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, but I don't.
And then we got John Cusack's character, who's the head of this corporation.
Yes.
And he's bizarre on top of bizarre, because first he's doing the interview and they're like, you know, well, what about the fact that your food products were brought to all these different places? And since then, all those people have come down with this flu new virus.
Yeah.
And he's like, the flu doesn't pass through food. And they're like, well, we're not saying that. We're saying that they got the food and then they got this virus. We didn't say it was the flu. And he's like, he just like takes off his microphone. But then he has this whole thing going on with his family at home where they're like almost super saccharine religious type.
Yeah.
Because when they're sitting down at dinner, he asks everybody, he says, what did you do today to earn your place on this overcrowded world? And like, he makes each of his kids and his wife like tell what they did to basically make it so that they deserve to be on the planet, which I found was kind of creepy because, you know, even when they'd say something, he'd be like, I tried something new. Well, trying something new is usually the first step towards being good at it. So, you know, that's definitely something good that you've done today. It was really bizarre and kind of creepy.
Yeah, that was a bizarre scene.
And yeah, they see this picture where, look at that water droplet. It's a new virus. There's a new virus inside of there, because this was a picture based on what he had taken a photo of the Utopia manuscript.
The page that he saw.
So then we really have to do the elephant in the room, which is the torture scene.
Well, we find out that Grant is the kid that took the book, and he's also the other member of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And because they had never met each other before, so they didn't know that Grant was a kid.
They assume Grant is a boy, but then they said, oh, Grant could be a girl. I mean,
right.
He does use an awful lot of exclamation points. I like how that was their classification for a girl.
The two hitmen that have been searching the book that killed everyone in the first episode, they go to, I want to say,
Walter's house?
Yeah, I can't think of his name on this show. I remember.
Oh, yeah, he was, Yeah, he was in You're the Worst. He was Edgar.
Edgar's, yeah. They go to Edgar's house. I can't think of his name on the show. Sorry.
I think it's Walter.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know.
Okay.
They go to his house and kill his whole family, including his young niece.
In a very, like, it's not even like with the sniper or the silenced pistol this time. They go in with these gas masks and they say, hey, there's been a gas leak.
Wilson,
that's right. Breathe this fresh oxygen.
Yeah.
And then step outside to get your head clear. And each one of them, when they breathe it in, they just collapse.
Yeah.
And we assume that they're dead.
We see Wilson's uncle or dad or whatever it is, breathe in, like, take, he's like, pulls it off his face. It doesn't affect him at first because he's old druggy. And he just goes, we don't know they're being killed until this guy. We're assuming they're being knocked out.
Right.
Will. And he just goes, so you're on to me, aren't you? He goes, what? And he's got like the conspiracy board going on, connecting all these things together. And the one hit me just goes, you're right. We are. I knew it. And then he puts the gas on him. And he's like, why did you tell him that? That's not true. He's like, well, I want him to die. Look at all the work he's put in this. I want him to die happy. So I thought that was funny.
Absolutely.
But yeah, they torture Wilson.
And he just, again, to use your phrase, cut a promo to the rest of the group talking about how he can dislocate his thumb to get out of any kind of shackle or handcuff, and how he can hold his breath for so long so that he doesn't breathe in any toxic gases, and all this stuff that he's done to prepare himself for any time that he gets tortured. And then he gets fucked up.
Oh, yeah. They
pour sea salt into his open eyeball.
Yeah. And then they pour bleach on his eye. And then they take a spoon and pluck his eye out.
Yeah.
And then they kind of go off and The one guy's shit-talking him for his Stormbook. Oh, you think French-style green beans are going to save you when the shit hits the fan? You know, like, he's making fun of him for his bunker.
And they basically, they seem to know what's coming at the end of the world. Yeah, they're like, we know what's coming. We're all set.
Yeah, this
is not going to help.
The other guy's heading out to do whatever. And that's when he kills the little girl on the front porch, which kind of pissed me off.
Yeah.
And then Wilson dislocates his thumb and starts fighting this guy, but he can't see anything out of his other eye.
Which I found credible. You know, yes. He grabs the gun and he pulls it up, but then he's like looking around because he's only got one eye left and it's all blurry from the salt and the bleach.
And then Jessica Hyde shows up, kills the other hitman.
Which this part I had a little problem with because, you know, Wilson can't see anything.
Yeah.
And he's aiming this gun around and the guy's like tossing a can over here and like dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodging, trying to distract him so that he fires his shots. Jessica Hyde comes down, buries an axe in this guy's head, and then walks straight up to Wilson.
Yeah.
He can see the figure coming to him and doesn't pull the trigger.
Yeah, I had an issue with that as well.
I'm like, wait. She didn't even speak until she got up on him, and then she was like, I'm Jessica Hyde. And he's like, yeah, right.
Yeah, and then the other three had gone to go get some donuts or some shit.
Donuts.
Yeah. They pick them up in the car along the way, and yeah, they think that she must have murdered everyone in the hotel, and then...
Because they're like, she's just cosplaying as Jessica Hyde.
She takes them to a farmhouse and then goes to Goodwill, comes back, makes them dye their hair, cut their hair, put on these other clothes, change their identities, et cetera, burn their phones and their watches, wallets, I mean, and yeah.
And then that one kid is like, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go to the cops. This has nothing to do with me. And so she holds him at gunpoint. Basically, you know, browbeats him into staying.
Yeah.
And as does
when Samantha talks him down, Jessica kills him, kills her.
Yeah. He finally sits down. She kills Samantha. And that's when she says that, you know, she was the leader. There can't be two leaders in a group. Now I'm the leader.
So we'll see. I don't dislike it, but
I want more. I want to know more about what's going on. And
yeah, I get it. This is a show I think I could binge and not feel guilty about it. Quite frankly.
Yeah, I could see that.
Wow, it's been 3 years since we got the last season of Fargo. That came out in 2017. Season 4 just hit in 2020.
Well, hit me. Hit me with Fargo.
Did you watch it?
I did.
Did you like it?
I didn't dislike it.
Each episode was over an hour long without commercials.
Yeah. That is an accurate statement, my friend.
Yeah.
This
the first episode, we don't get the title credits or the title card until 23 minutes and 25 seconds into the episode.
I like how you noted that.
And that's on Hulu time. So I don't know if there's any actual commercials that took place on the TV when it was on FX or not. Fargo season 4, basically it starts out like in 1920 and we're in Kansas City, Missouri. And it's the Jewish crime family and the Irish crime family, and then one turns on the other.
First, it's just the Jews, and then the Irish show up, and they agree.
They do a thing where they trade sons as a peace offering,
and we get to
which
see
I've never this, heard of before.
We get to see the same scene play out across all of these different groups. Right. Where the heads meet with some of their guys behind them in front of this one building. They spit in their hands, they shake, and agree. And like you said, they trade sons.
Trade sons.
My son for your son, because they say that if you raise your enemy's child as your own, it gives you more compassion for them and you'd be more willing to work with them.
So the Irish kid. So the Irish kid goes, lives with the Jewish family, the Jewish kid with the Irish family. And then one night the Jewish kid shows back up at the bar and basically he's like, hey, it's a setup. And he is forced to force them in. And then the Irish kill all the Jews, and then the Irish leader makes his son kill the other Jewish kid, shoot him and kill him. Now fast forward to 1934, and now you have the Irish and the Italians. The Italians show up. Same thing, like you said, spit in your hand, shake hands, trade sons again. But this time, the Irish kid turns on his dad.
And when we say, like, they show up and stuff, years go by.
Yeah, it was 1920, then 1934.
Yep.
So... again, they show up, and he turns on his dad. Mm-hmm. And now the Italians kill the Irish. And now we fast forward to 1950s, I want to say. It's been a long time. 50. It's 1950. So it's been 16 more years. And now it's the...
Italians?
Yeah, it was the Italians and then the black group. But I can't think of the name they use. Because it's the Moskowitz Syndicate, the Milligan Concern, the Fada, the Italian Fada family. And now it's, Canon Limited. So now it's the the Fada family and the Canon Limited. And they do the same thing, and they swap sons. Mm-hmm. Which by 1950, I don't see that happening. I could see it happening in the 20s, maybe even 1934. But they swap sons, and now we're in this, now it's 1950. And we kind of basically have our story. You know, one, the mob boss gets accidentally shot in the neck with a BB gun, but it punctures his neck. He goes to the hospital, but the hospital they first take him to won't take him because they don't serve Italians and immigrants there. So they make him go to another hospital. There we meet this Black Widow nurse, if you will. Or
she's the best character so far.
Yeah, she's from Wisconsin or Minnesota. And basically she kills people. She euthanizes people. And then when the hospital calls her out on it, she flips it on them and makes them give her like a 2-month severance package and a letter of recommendation. She won't go to the papers office trying to blame her. Yeah. So it's crazy. Mm-hmm. But one of the main characters, the narrator of all of this is, Ethelreda.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ethelreda Smutney. Her parents are one, her dad's white, her mom's black. They own a funeral home. She goes to the black school. She keeps getting her ass paddled by the principal because she's a smart mouth, but she's really intelligent. And she's kind of like our narrator to all this.
Mm-hmm. We still don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, we still don't know how she ties to these organized crime
families. No, we haven't figured that out yet. We have the organized crime family stuff going on where, you know, they're bustling around with each other, but trying to be peaceful, but muscly peaceful. And there's lots of tension, and the brother shows up from Italy, and he just wants to kill everybody because that's what they did in the war and to the Americans.
There were agreements made, and
yeah.
You know, Chris Rock's group sends over Senator Doctor,
yeah,
because that's his name, because his mother thought that, you know, giving him a name like that
would command respect.
Yep. So his name is literally Senator Doctor. You know, they were promised a slaughterhouse.
Yes,
they were promised that they could buy a slaughterhouse by the Italian boss before he died. And they're like, well, it's still going to be honored. So they go over there and they're like, you're going to honor this. Get out.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, the brother comes in there and he's like, no, this is the way that things are done.
Yeah. So it's if you've ever seen any season of Fargo, it's the same type of long-winded storytelling and eventually get around to where it's getting around to. I do enjoy it. I enjoyed these first two episodes.
Like I said, I didn't dislike them.
Yeah.
I just... It's very long-winded.
Yes.
Some of it was very taxing.
Yep.
You know, watching the kid over and over again complain that he doesn't want to go live with the other family. I don't blame him.
I don't blame him either. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to live with the other family either. Especially when your family's alive and over there taking in a different kid.
Ethelreda, her parents took a loan from the Canon Limited group.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Rock's character. That's how I think they're eventually going to tie in together.
Yep.
Her mother... her mother's aunt and fellow prisoner lover escaped from prison and are there now at her house. And the second episode ends with the police kicking the door down to take them back into custody. So, again, it's a long-winded, long way around storytelling, same way the movie Fargo was, same way all three previous seasons were. I really can't believe the first season of the show debuted 6 years ago. It's kind of crazy to think about. It's been 3 years since we had the last season of this. And it's anthology style, so it's not connected to the others, which is fine. But still, it's just...
They always have that intro, though, that says, this is a true story.
Yeah.
Out of respect for the survivors.
The names have been changed.
The names have been changed.
Yeah.
But out of... What is it, like, out of disrespect for the dead?
It was like, at the request of the survivors, the names have been changed, but for respect of the dead, the story is not.
Yeah.
Something like that. But that's not true either. Do you watch any other shows? I don't think I watched any other shows.
No, I don't believe that I did.
Did you watch any movies?
I watched two movies.
I watched a couple movies.
Well, I watched 1 2/3 of a movie.
Oh, I did watch another show, I guess.
What'd you watch?
I watched the first two episodes of Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, just went back and watched it?
Yeah, I watched the DVDs you got me for my birthday, so I can watch the extended episode of season one, episode one.
Nice.
And it's hilarious. I haven't seen the show since it first aired, but I'm watching it, and I'm remembering things, and it's weird watching it the second time through and seeing things that you find out later on, like, oh, no, that was actually a ghost, or that was this, or that was that. Yeah, that neck woman, though, still.
So, funny story about that. The other day when the trailer came out for the next season, and I sent it to you, I usually, like, when I get trailers, I have different people that I send them to. You know, I'll send all of them to you for the most part because we got to talk about
it. Yeah, yeah.
Most all of them I'll send to my sister because, you know, she gives me good insight as well. But then different people like different things. So I went to send this to one of my friends, and I was like, I don't know if she's seen this or not. So I messaged her, and I'm like, hey, did you ever watch the first season of The Haunting of Hill House? She's like, no, but it looked good. Was it good? And I was like, yes, it really was. She's like, well, I'm heading home sick from work, so maybe I'll pop it on. So she went home and apparently popped it on and then started messaging me like while the episode's going on. I can't believe they're doing this and blah, 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 and like giving me commentary. I was like, that's cool. And she gets to the end of the first episode. She's like, wow, that was amazing. I can't wait to watch more. And I said, trust me, the whole season is fucking amazing. I said, but by the time you hit episode five, I said, that's what changed it for me.
Yes.
I said, episode five was just the holy fuck moment for me. And she's like, okay. So I didn't even give it any more thought. I was at work at the time, well, sitting at my work desk. A couple hours later, I get this message from her that said, holy fuck, you were right. You were absolutely 100% correct. That was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Because she had just reached the Bent Neck Lady episode. And yeah, it's wonderful. They'll never be able to duplicate it. You know,
no, that's one of those moments that you'll never get again.
Yeah, I'm not going into the second season going, where's going to be my twist moment?
What's
like
the
that
bent neck lady moment? Yeah,
right. I'm just going to enjoy the second season for
what it
itself.
Is. Yep. Which it's a second season, but it's not. It's
a different story, different characters, house, different
story.
People.
Yeah,
with one tie, I believe.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right, movies. I watched three.
Go for it.
I watched The Town That Dreaded Sundown, both 1976 and 2014.
Okay. Does that count as one movie or two?
No, those are two movies.
Okay.
Two separate movies. The 1976 movie, I really enjoy these movies. I feel like they're both sleepers on people. Mm-hmm. The 1976 one is, there's some comedic elements to it. And there's a narrator, which is funny. But it's basically the story of, in 1941, I think it was, there was a series of killings in Texarkana. And this movie is the, not, this movie, which came out in 76, is telling about the story from 1941, telling about the murders. It's a fictionalized account of these murders, mm-hmm. Okay? And then the movie that came out in 2014 is about the celebration of the movie from 1976, which is about the murders in 1941, and the murderer in 1941 was the Phantom, and now the Phantom's back in 2014, and yes, it's been 66 years and blah blah. I just think it's so brilliantly done. Like, I really enjoyed the 1976 movie for what it was,
mm-hmm.
And I really just think the 2014 movie is so brilliantly done, tying in the original movie to this, and it's, I really appreciate it.
Nice.
And I don't think, again, I think there's sleeper films that not enough people watch.
That's cool. See, I can honestly say that I hadn't even heard about them until you mentioned them. So,
yeah.
I guess I would be one of those sleepers.
I actually watched the 2014 film prior to watching the 1976 because I thought the 2014 film was just a remake.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was in Redbox or something like that. And I was like, oh, I'll just watch that. And then I watched it. And I was like, fuck, now I got to watch the 1976 one to make it sense. And I did. And then now the other day, like, and that was, you know, 6 years ago. And now I just watched them both back to back. So
I'll have to check them out.
And you can. What did you watch for movies?
So, okay. I've mentioned this before. A lot of times when I watch a movie or a show or something like that, I do it while I'm walking.
Sure.
And I walk in my room. I just pace back and forth.
Yeah.
But I can get like 11 steps in each direction. So it's a pretty good,
yeah.
You know. So what I did was I threw on a movie. Netflix was like, oh, don't forget, The Boys in the Band is on.
Oh,
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, that's right.
How was it?
So I looked at it and it was 2 hours and 2 minutes. And I thought, what I'll do is I'll do an hour of walking and then pause it. And then I'll come back later and do another hour of walking. You know, usually I try to do like 40 minutes or so, because that's like an episode of Teenage Bounty Hunters or Hannibal or whatever. So I was like, I'll do an hour of each. I got 40 minutes in and I said, all right, I'm going to stop. I'll come back. I can do this over three, you know, because that's 40 minutes, 80 minutes, 120 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
And mostly I stopped because I was like, I don't want to watch this anymore, but I will try. Ooh. I will give it another 40 minutes. So I did my second walk and I did another 40 minutes. And this is why I only watched 2/3 of this movie, because I could not continue with this movie.
Just didn't like it?
I did not like this at all.
Oh, wow.
And I will put this right out there right now. It had nothing to do with the subject matter.
Sure.
Okay. What it had to do with was the fact that this movie, I don't know what I was expecting with the trailer. This movie takes place, I would say, almost entirely in this one apartment.
Yeah.
Two rooms or what have you. And it is a dinner party / birthday party for one of these friends. These are all men in 1968, I believe, New York.
Yeah.
Who are all gay. And they're having a birthday party for their friend. So he's coming over. And I don't know. I did not like this.
Okay. That's fine.
I know you want to watch it, and I'll be interested to see if you enjoy it.
Well, Kate and I watched the trailer the other day, and she wants to watch it as well. So
I'm not going to say more, because I want you to watch it, and then we can have a discussion about it. Plus, it's just come out, so I don't want to ruin it for everybody. I just did not like the writing. I didn't like the script work.
Yeah.
It didn't play to me. So,
well, fair enough. What was the other movie you watched?
The other movie that I watched was Vampires vs. Brooklyn.
Oh, what was that on?
Netflix.
Netflix. How was it?
This is basically, I don't want to go derivative and say this is just Monster Squad, but it kind of Monster Squad.
Yeah, yeah. I had the Monster Squad feel to it.
It that's what it is. If you're going into it with that in mind, you're going to get what you want.
Perfect.
It was fun.
I'll watch it this week.
Yep. I'll say that. I'll just say that it was fun and it was a kid movie, but not like a little kid movie. It was a Monster Squad kind of thing. So, yeah.
The other movie I watched was Antebellum.
Antebellum, yes. I remember that preview.
Yeah.
Didn't you tell me the other day, by the way, that you watched something about, like, The Murders Next Door?
Oh, I watched a documentary about an American murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. Moving on Netflix.
Antebellum.
It's like,
The trailer didn't do a lot for me with this one. Like, I wanted to see it, but I didn't know why, because it was very confusing.
The trailer, and when you watch the trailer, it shows footage from, like, Civil War slave times, mm-hmm. and it shows footage from today.
Mm-hmm. This is a Jordan Peele one, right?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
I will say, it might, actually, this, I don't think so, no. Antebellum film. Written by, directed by Gerard Bush and Christopher Renz. It's a feature directorial debuts.
Well, what about produced?
I'm looking. Nope.
Okay.
Nope. It's just, and I get it because this type of movie, Jordan Peele has been doing a lot of Us.
Yeah.
I think he did Mama. What's the other one?
You would have to ask me that.
Yeah. But he's done a bunch.
Oh, Get Out.
Get Out, yeah. So, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
Oh, cool.
I thought I told you the other day that I enjoyed this movie.
You did, but now we're on the podcast.
Okay, fair enough. No, I'm trying to
hype it up.
That's okay. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I'll say that. I feel like I don't want to talk or say anything about it beyond that.
Okay.
Because I want you to watch it, and I want people to watch it. And I'm afraid I'll give something away.
Gotcha.
Quite frankly.
Good.
And I don't want to.
I am going to check this one out. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, you should. You should.
Any other movies?
No.
We had a bunch of trailers this week.
Yeah.
You actually sent me a message at one point after a string of them coming back and forth. You were like, I think it's the day of trailers.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. So I sent you one called The Orange Years, The Nickelodeon Story, which is a documentary about Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
The starts of the origin of Nickelodeon.
Yep.
I'll watch the hell out of this.
Fuck yeah, I will.
Because that's my childhood.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember getting cable and being so excited because they had a network called Nickelodeon, the network for kids. And I was like, oh my God, it's for kids.
See, I didn't have cable when I was a kid. I didn't have cable until I was almost a teenager at my mom's house. But I'd go to my dad's and watch cable, or I'd go to, you know, my grandmother's or somewhere and watch cable. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like how you couldn't get broadband internet from the cable company because they didn't go to West Gardner, but literally you could, like, the house, two houses up got it.
Yeah.
That was me. We lived on the camp road, so we couldn't have cable because they didn't run up the camp road. But yet my grandmother directly next door, or the store in front of our house, had cable.
Yep.
But we couldn't get cable because they didn't want to run the line 10 feet up the camp road. So we didn't have cable. Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, this looks awesome. I'm very excited about it.
Absolutely. Speaking of documentaries, I sent you one for Wolfman's Got Nards.
Yes, about the Monster Squad.
And the cult classic that it became.
Yes.
You know, when the people who made the movie, it kind of tanked. And they were like, we never expected anybody to have this kind of reaction to it. It looks good. I'll check it out.
It does look great. Oh, real quick. I did watch another new show today. I watched, it's a Peacock original, mm-hmm. and it's called... I actually can't think of the name of it now, but Dale Earnhardt Jr. is in it, and it's basically looking at old lost racetracks.
Oh, wow.
And it's only, each episode's like 25 minutes long. It's a half-hour show. It's just really good.
I wish Peacock would come to my TV. It's not on Samsung TVs.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh, that's interesting. I have it through Roku, obviously.
Yeah.
I have the free account.
Because they just added it to Roku.
Yes, I have the free account. But I noticed they had all the Universal Monster movies, the original ones. Nice. And I have not watched all of those in 30 years, probably.
It's a good month for it.
Like, legitimately have not watched. Like, I don't think I've actually ever seen the original Wolfman movie.
Oh,
ever.
Wow.
But I saw, like, Frankenstein and Dracula and
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, I've seen that one a bunch of times. I think Creature from the Black Lagoon's my favorite of those, but I've never seen the Wolfman. I think I gotta watch them.
Like I said, it's the right month for it.
I think I gotta watch them. Anyways. But I would give that Dale Earnhardt Jr. show a real hard sell if you're a race car fan or enjoy racing. Anyways. I actually sent you the trailer for Vampires versus Bronx. That was one of the trailers I sent you. I didn't realize that opened. Wouldn't that come out yesterday or Friday or something?
Yeah, I think it was Friday.
Okay.
You're right. It is Bronx, not Brooklyn.
Yeah. I sent you one for Holidate.
Yeah. I'll check that out. It's a romantic.
Well, here, it's a Netflix movie. I'll just read it. Shane and Sloan and Jackson hate the holidays. Their enduring singledom leaves them subject to the judgment of their meddling family members or stuck with clingy, awkward dates on each festive occasion. When these two meet, they pledge to be each other's plus ones for each holiday celebration over the course of the year. It's Emma Roberts and Luke Bracey. What's funny to me is, like, it's got a Christmas tree on it. It comes out October 28th.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's over all the holidays.
I know, but clearly Christmas is the focus on this one.
Right, right.
They're basically like they're fuck buddies, but instead they're plus one buddies.
Exactly. That way nobody bothers them and nobody says, oh, when are you going to get married? When are you going to meet someone?
What'd you send me?
Transformers Earthrise.
Yeah.
The next chapter in the anime. Looks great.
Yes, it does.
Introducing a new faction,
mm-hmm.
you know, because out here... Autobots and Decepticons don't exist. Blumhouse's The Craft Legacy.
Yeah, this looks interesting.
I like the fact that they had the picture there of Firouza Balk.
Yes, I did know the Polaroid of her. Yes.
So we're basically tying it back to the original one. Although this one, I don't know if it's because we've got better graphics abilities or if these girls are going to be more powerful. But
they got the sparkly magic going on.
They got the sparkly magic, but they had a lot of stuff going on. They had a lot of telekinetics going on. And
if anything, this makes me just kind of want to watch the original Kraft movie. Mm-hmm. I saw that the first time at State Street Cinema in Augusta.
Nice. Yeah, I'd watch the original and then watch this one.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good. I sent you Marvel 616.
That's a documentary.
Yeah.
That looks great.
There were a lot of documentaries.
Yeah, there was. That looks really good.
Paul Scheer, who's awesome. Kind of doing some behind-the-scenes stuff of the making of the movies, the TV shows, the comics.
This is going to be on Disney Plus, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah.
Yep. And I think it's actually a documentary series.
Yeah, I was about to say, movie. It's not just a single movie, yeah.
Horror one called His House. That was the creepy one with the two immigrants who moved into basically a complete shithole.
Well, it's almost like INS said, or immigration told them, you're in this country, but you're not free to do what you want. You need to go live in the house we're going to put you at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's their landlord again? I remember it was somebody famous.
I can't recall.
Okay. Anyway, it looks like a creepy horror movie. You know, somebody's living in the walls, or kids, or some kind of ghostly spirit. You know, there's a piece of fruit that rolls across the floor and jumps up into the hole in the wall. It just looks adequately creepy.
It's going to be on Netflix day before Halloween.
Yep. Which is why I'll end up watching it.
Yeah.
There's
7 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes for it, 100%.
Oh, wow. Then I sent you one for Belushi.
Yeah, another documentary on Jim Belushi.
John Belushi.
I mean, John Belushi, yeah. Sorry, Jim is still alive selling pot.
Yeah.
John Belushi, yeah. Looks great.
It does look great. And it's probably going to be very sad. You know,
most likely.
Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase, you know, all the people that he interacted with back then coming on. And I'm looking forward to that.
Hulu, I sent you one for Books of Blood.
Yes.
It is a upcoming horror anthology series based on Books of Blood by Clive Barker.
Mm, which is cool.
Yeah. It's going to be on – it comes at the Screamfest Horror Film Festival. It's going to be released on October 6th. It's coming out on Hulu on October 7th. So
– I sent you one. They remade The Witches.
Yeah. You know, the end of The Witches with the big nose, that is just some creepy-ass fucking makeup for a little kid to watch. But anyways, yeah, they look decent.
Yeah. I think that was all I had for trailers.
Oh, well, you know, the first one, which is, I looked this up afterwards because I was curious. It came out in 1990, so that movie's 30 fucking years old. Like, because my thought is, they're remaking The Witches, not 30 years old. That kind of, you know, like,
yeah.
It's just weird having stuff being remade in our lifetime that, yeah.
I hear you.
And it's a Robert Zemeckis flick.
Right.
The new one. So.
Got any news?
Not really, no.
I had that, like I told you, Cobra Kai Season 3.
Yeah.
Coming January 8th. Season 4 is greenlit. Woohoo! We got a trailer for Season 3. I didn't watch it. this is very interesting, and I still don't understand this completely.
Sure.
Okay? Jamie Foxx's Electro is coming to the next Spider-Man movie. Jamie Foxx, who played Electro in Amazing Spider-Man 2, is reprising the role in the third Spider-Man movie in the MCU. He says that this Electro will not be blue.
Huh. So he's just playing the same character, but probably not the same character?
Why would they have the same actor as the same character, if not as the same character?
That is kind of weird.
It's very weird.
Well, think about it. They got... same J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah. Yeah.
From the original Spider-Man flick.
That's true.
You know, from the Sam Raimi Spider-Man series.
So I think at this point, it's very clear that they are setting up the Sinister Six.
Or I heard also, actually, one news thing I did read in here was that they're going to do a live action Into the Spider-Verse, which would tie all three of those, which they want to get Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire to come back to play Spider-Man.
Interesting.
Yep.
Well, here's something else that's interesting. It's not TV related, but PlayStation 5 is coming out shortly. One of the big hits for the PlayStation 4, because it's Sony, was the Spider-Man video game.
Sure.
It's not based on any of the movies. It's just Spider-Man. They had a guy who had played Peter Parker. You know, they CG'd him into the game. It looked like Peter Parker. It's college years, you know. Well, PS5 comes out, they're remastering PS4's Spider-Man.
Okay.
It happens. Sure. You know, they slap a fresh coat of paint on, make it look a little bit better on a better system. Well, they released screenshots, and the model of Spider-Man has changed. And it's no longer the guy who did it before. It's now looks a lot like Tom Holland.
Huh.
Which is very interesting. Never really seen that happen in a video game before. Because the cinematics in this game tell the story as well as the gameplay. So in these cinematics, you get to know this version of Peter Parker. Well, now they're re-releasing or they're remastering it for PS5. and they're giving us a different Spider-Man. Very interesting. Not quite sure if that has to do with the Spider-Verse or not. But
I mean, it could.
But yeah, they're definitely setting up the Sinister Six now, because we have the Vulture. Technically, we have the Tinkerer, you know, if you want to. I don't think he'd really make it. But you had Matt Gargan, who becomes Scorpion in the comics.
Yep.
You had Shocker in the first one. So the first movie, you had three of them right there. Second movie, you've got Mysterio. Third movie, you're adding in Electro. And the biggest rumor is that the main villain will be Kraven the Hunter. So there's your sixth right there.
Yeah, that's Sinister Six.
Although technically, they could also sub out one of those guys for Venom, because they're talking about Venom crossing over.
Yeah, we have seen Venom.
Regal Cinema might be closing their theaters again.
Oh, no, I actually read that today, that they are closing 543 cinemas in the United States, all of them, because there's no movies coming out.
That's exactly it. It's not like, oh, well, we're doing it for health and safety. It's because we can't make money if there's no good movies coming out.
And like, I don't... How is it that Regal isn't following the format that the
drive-ins do?
The drive-ins did. Because the drive-ins made a killing. Now, granted, they were only open... See, not all. Most of them were only open on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Some of them were open on other days. But for the most part, they're only open on the weekends.
Well, think about the difference in overhead, too. Okay, a drive-in, what is their overhead? It's the projector.
Projector and any food they make that they have to throw away.
Whereas Regal, if they open, they've got to air condition,
lights. That's true, yeah.
The staff. More
electricity.
The staff, they've got to have like a dozen people per shift. They've got to have all the stuff to make the food. They've got to have the video games running. And they've got to have all 10 screens running.
Well, do they, though?
I don't think that they do, but they probably have them all running.
They could run a couple screens and call it a day.
Yeah.
If they open but here's the thing. They're
still powering the whole building.
If they opened on the weekends only, people that work there aren't going to stay around and work in there. Anyone that works at the drive-in, they know that their job is part-time. The guy that owns it's going to be there every day. He's probably going to have family members there working, but otherwise it's it's going to be what it's going to be.
Last bit of news that I have, kind of exciting. Netflix has gotten the rights to all of the stories from the comic books and the books and all that so that they can make their own TV series of Conan the Barbarian.
I can get behind that.
I can definitely get behind that, considering they've got the rights to the stories.
I enjoyed Arnold Schwarzenegger's Conan flicks.
Especially at the end of each one where they said, but that's another story.
Yes.
Here they are.
I really enjoyed Red Sonja, actually.
Yeah.
I wasn't as big of a fan of...
Aquaman?
Yeah, Jason Momoa was Conan.
Yeah.
I could get behind Netflix doing a Conan series. Yeah. That could be cool as shit.
They did just announce that they're already working on a third season of The Witcher.
Nice.
Haven't even got the second one done yet, because they had to recast one of the Witchers for the second season because the guy who was going to be playing him had to bow out because of concerns about COVID.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I can't believe it's taken this long for Regal to decide to shut down. I mean,
well, the amount of notifications I would get from them basically saying, please come watch a movie. It's only $5 a person. Come watch Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back.
Tenet. Yeah. I think the whole reason they reopened was because of Tenet.
Yeah.
And now all these other films keep getting pushed back. Black Widow is gone.
Yeah.
It's next year. No Time to Die just got pushed back to next year.
James Bond just got pushed back to April. And most likely Wonder Woman will get pushed back as well.
And what's going to happen is they're going to close down and these big companies are going to go, all right, let's look at what Disney did and let's see if we can make it happen. Let's talk about doing a home video release.
Well, I mean, they've already done that with a bunch of movies, though. Disney's charged $40 for theirs, but the other companies are charging $20, you know?
But Disney charged $40 for you to own it.
That's true.
The other companies charge $20 for you to rent it.
I think I'd be more apt to... Again, I know we live in a digital world, but $40 for something digital to me just seems like so much money compared to, like, $10.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Compared to, like, spending $40 and you get the physical media.
Like, I'll pay $60 for a video game.
Yeah.
Okay? Digital or physical, either way. But I know that I'm going to get, like, 30 to 80 hours out of it. And I might go back and play it later on. Whereas a movie, I'm going to watch it once.
Yeah.
Maybe twice if I really like it.
Yeah.
And then down the road a ways, I might be like, oh, hey, I'll bring over a copy of that to your place. Yeah. Or we'll sign into my Vudu account and you can watch it.
Sure.
So $40 for that?
Yeah, it's just too much.
Yeah,
it is. You know, it really is. It's just too much.
The landscape is going to change.
I know it is. But at the same time, like, bookstores haven't 100% gone out of business yet.
Nope.
People still like physically having books in their possession, you know. Drive-ins haven't died, even though everyone thought they would.
Records are making a resurgence.
Records are making a huge resurgence. Yeah, my wife wanted records for Christmas this year, this Tom Petty set. And my mom actually ordered her today for Christmas. It comes out October 16th, but anyhow. All right, I guess that's it for me.
That's all I got.
Cool. Well, you can find me on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And that is the show.
Later.